Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And away we go. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you be a part of the radio program. Text lines open 71307, 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the show. You can shoot me a tweet at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. You can get it Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. If you want to come in that direction, you can tweet everybody at the station this morning by hitting us up at The Fan Upstate. Totally way, dude. Totally way. All right, let's get to some of the other scores and news of note out of the landscape of college football. Next segment, we flip it over to the NFL. We're going to go light in the NFL in the beginning of the week, and then we will switch heavy into the NFL at the end of the week, because, ladies and gentlemen, you may not be aware, if you are not pleased, know that I am pleased to be the first to inform you. It is NFL week one. The pros started up this Thursday night when the Kansas City Chiefs begin their revenge tour from all the disrespect that they've been suffering this offseason as they take on Lamar Jackson in his Baltimore Ravens, an AFC championship game rematch, firing up Thursday evening. So we'll pick our teams out of the Eastern divisions of the AFC and the NFC coming up towards the back of this hour. But let's talk some more college football here. A couple of spots that I want to keep an eye on. Let us start with the Ohio State Buckeyes earlier in the show. Took a little while to get rolling, did the Buckeyes, behind Will Howard in his debut for OHIO. He ends with 228 yards and three tutties. Travion Henderson, 8 carries, 65 yards, as Ohio State knocks off Akron 52-6 your final. It was 7-3 at the end of the first quarter before the horse chestnuts figured it out in the second quarter and began to run away. It was 17-3 at the end of the half, but Ohio State put up three tutties in the third quarter and another pair in the fourth. Lonzo, you are, of course, the great horse chestnut leader here in the beautiful upstate of South Carolina. Did you get championship vibes out of this team against the Akron Zips?
Maybe you should write your crack down. It'd be easier, you know, so if you're reading it. You know, again, I can't make fun of your team. I not surprised. There's a little struggle early on. Brand new quarterback. I thought Ohio State was a little overhyped before all this. And, you know, we've seen in the past when things are overhyped, this is the greatest team ever assembled and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes they fall flat. But they pulled it together and was very positive as far as I would like to see a little more out of Henderson. But you didn't need it. So when they go up against those stalwarts in the Big Ten, going to need a little more out of the running game. But other than that, I'm happy with it.
Speaking of stalwarts in the Big Ten, there is a stalwart in the Big Ten that did not impress in week number one. It was, as a matter of fact, my pick to be national champions this year, but it took a little while for this team to get rolling, the Oregon Ducks. Here's the weird part. The Ducks ran 87-ish plays in this game. They had 50 passing plays, 37 running plays. They had 380 yards through the air off the arm of Dylan Gabriel. He also threw for a pair of touchdowns, no interceptions in this game. On the ground, Jordan James, 15 carries, 95 yards and a touch. That's over 6 yards per carry. It kind of is the final score here is a bit befuddling, if I may, because this team put together 487 yards of offense. They held Idaho, the Vandals, to 168 through the air and just 49 on the ground. And yet they won 24-14. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I don't understand how that works out. I don't get how a team is that dominant offensively and yet wins this game 24-14. It didn't make sense. This is a team in the Oregon Ducks that I will be paying great attention to next week when they play their second home game, this time against the Boise State Blue Turf Broncos. Because the numbers were all there in terms of yardage, in terms of completion percentage. Dylan Gabriel was 41 of 49 in this game. They just didn't stick the ball in the end zone. I don't know how you have 487 yards of offense and you don't get the ball in the end zone more than three times. You got shut out in the third quarter. It was 14-7 at the end of the third. Excuse me. It was 14-7 in favor of the Ducks. At the end of the third quarter, they found one more tutty on the day. This is another team that, like, I'm not writing off because I don't know if Dan Lanning maybe Mike Norveled me a little bit, right? Because I think after that game last night, it is abundantly fair to ask Florida State if perhaps they got the wrong guy signed to a long-term extension in Mike Norvell. I mean, I don't know how a team goes from that good to that bad that fast. I don't understand. So I'm real interested in the Ducks, great one, because there was no need for that game to be that close that long from a team that was expected to be a Big Ten contender against an Idaho team that ain't exactly good.
It is amazing that amount of offense and not getting in the end zone that much. But again, game one, and they get that fixed, look out. Then they are the contender that you think they are. If they're able to find the end zone a few more times.
I mean, they're going to have to. I think it's October 12th.
I believe it was October 12th when Ohio State and Oregon play. So then we're going to find out.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. All right, we'll talk more about the Ducks later in the season. Alabama, exactly what I thought they were going to do. They roll Western Kentucky 63-0. Jalen Milroe gets yanked after just 9 passes, 7 of 9, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Milroe also carried the ball 10 times for 79 yards and a pair of touchdowns. I will say that when we talked about earlier Lenore Sellers and his role within the South Carolina offense, I'm going to tell you, I want it to look just like what it does for Jalen Milroe in Alabama. All right. I want it to look the same way. They asked Milroe to carry the ball on design runs a couple of times, but a lot of those designed runs were design runs that came off of passing plays that had a similar scheme, a similar build. They're going to run this passing play out of this set 2 or 3 times. And then they're going to hit you out of the same set, the same look, receivers running the same route, but then Milroe's going to tuck it and run. He's going to set up the pass and tuck and run. Alabama did not call a bunch of plays where they asked Jalen Milroe to run into a defense. It's the right way to handle a quarterback like Jalen Milroe. And I do see a lot of Lenore Sellers in Jalen Milroe. Alabama used Milroe exactly the way that he should be used. He was efficient with the football, both through the air and with his legs. Didn't really run into danger. 10 carries, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 of 9 through the air, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns. This was, oh, by the way, Alabama racked up 334 rushing yards and 6 rushing touchdowns in this game against the Hilltoppers. I'm going to tell you right now, Alabama runs the offense that I would like to see South Carolina run with Lenore Sellers. That's the vibe. That's the look. That's the get. And I think there's a lot to be learned about that. So big win for Kalen DeBoer in his debut as the head coach of the Crimson Tide. Utah 49-0 on top of Southern Utah. Cameron Rising makes his return to the football field after missing last year with a leg injury. 10 of 15, 254 and 5 touchdowns. Also carried 4 times for 25 yards. Y'all, I told you this offseason, I think the Utes, Ya'ana, are going to be dangerous this year. I think they're going to be very good. They are my pick to win the Big 12. They did exactly to the Thunderbirds what I thought they needed to do. They ran the ball well. They had about 47 different players who ran the football. Dijon Stanley is going to be a stud this year. 3 grabs, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brant Queeth had 4 grabs for 69 yards, put it into the end zone 3 times as well before Kyle Whittingham eventually called off the dogs for the Utah Utes. 49-0 winners there. That's my Pac-12 pick. And even after this weekend, where a couple of Big 12 pick, where a couple of Big 12 schools look very good, I feel more confident. Max said, Alabama looked good, but they played Western Kentucky. Yeah, I know. Again, week one for me is not about scores. It's not about points. Week one for me is just about looking at the program, evaluating the program, seeing what the program does, where the program executes, what the offense looks like, what the defense looks like. And in looking at what I saw out of Alabama, I feel very confident in my pick of Alabama to win the SEC championship game. All right, I just do. And it's not because they came out and did what they were supposed to do and punk Western Kentucky. It is because of the fact that they executed in every facet of the game. It was because of the fact that Jalen Milroe looked very much in control of the offense. It did not look to me like Alabama had missed a single step after the departure of Nick Saban. That's how I felt about it. That's why that matters to me. When I look at, as we talked about extensively, the Clemson-Georgia game, it was not about winning the game. Like, would that have been nice? Sure. With Georgia missing out on their top two running backs, would it have been nice for the defensive line to wreak some havoc and keep Georgia out of the end zone, maybe a couple of drives and give themselves a chance? Yeah. But to me, the question was, has the playbook evolved? Will the playbook look the play iPad look differently? Will the team execute? Will the strategy be different from last year? Or is it going to be a year where the fans that are haters, man, that have been busting up on Dabo the last couple of years, are they going to leave this game going, there it is. Same old Clemson, same old strategies, same old offense, same old tactics. And the answer was yes for South Carolina. Was it about beating Old Dominion? Yeah, no, it definitely was. You can't lose that game, all right? You can't lose that game. That game would go up there amongst the losses with teams like the Citadel, all right? Can't lose that game. So it was about winning the game, but it was also about performing inside of that win. And I was, to lack a better phrase, if I may go a little hippy-dippy here for a minute, I was uninspired, man. I didn't watch that game and look and go, yeah, that team's better. Yeah, that team found a groove. That team found a stride. That team found where it wants to be. I didn't look at it and feel that way. Alabama, I absolutely did. Alabama, I watched their game against Western Kentucky on Fast Forward, and I will tell you that they look like they know what the hell they're doing. They look like they know what they are doing. They look like they are comfortable in what they are doing. They look like they did not miss a beat from the departure of Nick Saban. And I'll be interested to see what the push looks like for them. Oklahoma gets their first win as SEC members, 51-3 over Temple. They didn't ask Jackson Arnold to do too much. He didn't have to. 141 through the air and four tutties off of his arm puts them in a good spot. And then there's Ole Miss. Jackson Dart, 418 yards, five touchdowns through the air over Furman. 529 yards of passing offense, 243 on the ground. I'm real bad at math, but that's almost 800 yards and 10 touchdowns for Ole Miss over Furman. That team might be better than I gave them credit for. All right, we'll talk some more college football. When we come back, we'll pick our NFC and AFC East division winners. In the final segment, we'll ask what the X is going on. And then we'll get out of here. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Continuing our reaction to the weekend that was in the land of collegiate football, week one in the books as it stands right now. And I mean, Georgia is going to come out of this, obviously hanging on to their number one ranking in the AP poll after they wait till the second half to do it, but tear Clemson apart at the seams in order to get a big 34-3 win over that team. I think you got exactly I don't want to say you got what you expected in that game. You got a score that was well outside of what Vegas predicted it to be, the cover and then a little bit more. I think you got out of that win really a good almost full three quarters from Clemson defensively. And I think at this point, it is relatively obvious that if Clemson's going to accomplish anything this year, it's going to have to be on the defensive side of the ball. Guys like Peter Woods were out there causing a little havoc. But then eventually Carson Beck kind of found his stride into the second half. I'm going to say there is a reason for that. And we've talked about this. We talked about it last year. It was a problem last year as well. The problem is when your offense is finding trouble sustaining drives and your defense is being called onto the field over and over and over with very little time to hit the oxygen tank on the sideline and get caught up, it's going to bite you. All right. It is comparable to what we talked about last year with the Carolina Panthers. Very comparable to what we talked about last year with the Panthers. That is to say that when the defense is out there for 80% of a football contest, it makes sense, and having to react, right? Like it's because I've been asked the question before, Rob, if the defense is out there 80% of the time, doesn't it also mean that the other offense is out there 80% of the time? Yeah, it does. But an offense, not every player has to go full tilt every time on every play, right? If you're a backside wide receiver and you know that it's going to be a run the other direction, like, yeah, you got to sell the route to keep your defensive back locked on you and prevent him from taking that long pursuit angle, but you just got to sell the route and then you're done. Then you're out, right? Versus a defender who is trying to chase the ball around the football field on every play. It is exhausting to be a defensive player in that type of scenario, and that's effectively what Clemson put their defense through in that spot. So that to me was one of the big takeaways from this. couple of other scores that came out of week one in the top 25. I think we got to talk about this USC-LSU game for a second, don't we? Instant classic. I mean, it certainly felt that way to me. Southern Cal ends up with the ball late. LSU makes a couple of critical mistakes. LSU in a couple of different spots gave the ball away, and they had what could have been a game-ending drive going late in that contest, and a series of what the hell are we calling this for calls combined with a couple of penalties, including a big 15-yarder that flipped the field on its own, ended up giving Lincoln Riley's team an opportunity to get something done. And Miller Moss, the transfer quarterback that everybody was up on them about during the offseason, made him pay. 27 to 36, 378 yards and a touchdown through the air. Woody Marks, running back for USC, 16 carries, 68 yards, and a pair of touchdowns on the ground. Here's the thing. Garrett Nussmeier played well enough to win this game for LSU. John Emery Jr. was running like a dude in this game. Like, this was just a great football game, and USC in the fourth quarter figured it out. This is the third consecutive season opening loss for Brian Kelly. That's not even my favorite Brian Kelly stat. My favorite Brian Kelly stat: Lonzo, since arriving at LSU, Brian Kelly is 1-5 against AP top 20 teams.
He's letting down the family.
The family. I did love, if you didn't see it, in Brian Kelly's post-game press conference, bro, he ripped the team. He's like, this is the first time I've been angry at the team. They did. It was a lot of they. A lot of they in that one. Not a lot of me. See, Mike Norvell's team lost last night, and Mike Norvell grabbed the mic and said, I failed. It's on me. I didn't get them ready this week. We weren't prepared, and that is my failure. Dabo Swinney failed and said, yo, come at me. Write what you want to write. Say what you want to say, handle it how you want to handle it, but this entire thing is on me, not the boys. Like, Brian Kelly grabbed the mic and was like, yeah, those guys suck. Those guys stink, man. Like, we're here talking about the same thing again. Remember, same LSU team that opened the year with an L against Florida State in New Orleans last year. Now they open with an L against USC in Las Vegas this year. And Brian Kelly put it all on the squad, all on the boys. And don't get me wrong, he ain't entirely wrong, to tell you the truth. He ain't entirely wrong because LSU started making stupid mistakes. I'll give you two teams right now I'm really intrigued to follow this year. Not because I think that they are playoff teams or playoff contenders, but because I think that they are going to be or have the possibility of genuinely being like models of how not to run your football team. And that's LSU and Florida State. I'm real interested in these two teams. Great one, because these two teams might go down as exhibits 1 and 1A about what happens when you go get a bunch of dudes out of the portal that maybe are more in it for the money than the game. When you get a bunch of guys out of the portal that don't gel together. And when you get a bunch of guys out of the portal that maybe consider themselves superstars that have no discipline, that aren't disciplined, that you don't discipline and get them ready for big games like the ones they just played in.
By the way, shout out to the Big Ten, because was that the only Big Ten SEC matchup?
I believe it was. Yes.
Yeah. So now the Big Ten's 1-0. Just want to point that out. But I don't know if I would put LSU in there with Florida State. Florida State, definitely a disappointment so far. But LSU was competitive. You didn't think they were good? I mean, that was a good game. So,
oh, it was a phenomenal game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for anyone who's a Florida State fan, they're done. LSU, not necessarily done.
Oh, LSU's certainly not done. And, you know, I do think we also need to wait and find out, all right, is this U.S. team for USC team for real, right? Because it was the same USC team that last year kind of had a hot start to the season. And then, the wheels came the hell off to the point that there were people questioning Lincoln Riley's job security about halfway through the season with a Heisman favorite at quarterback. So I do think we have to wait to find out, all right, are we getting Lincoln Riley again here? Or did this team genuinely turn a corner? Because I don't know that we know that answer yet. What I will say is, for LSU at least, like, Florida State's just a bad football team, and that's very obvious at this point. For LSU, I think it's an undisciplined football team. I think it's a good football team. I think they've got the talent. I just think it's an undisciplined football team. And if it's an undisciplined football team, I don't know what the fix is, right? I don't know what the fix is. I if you come into the season as an undisciplined football team, I don't think that discipline is something that you can use or learn once week one gets underway, right? I don't think you can course correct that. You either, as Nick Saban used to do, and this is how the great one beat everybody, like Nick Saban had his team the most disciplined team in football in April, in May, and June, July, before week one got here. I don't know how LSU turns it around. If I got guys that are creating opportunities for themselves and then are dancing through the end zone, pulling out a fake imaginary gun to shoot the opponent, like, you know you can't do that, right? Like, if you want to dance and you want to celebrate and you want to have a good time, I'm team make football fun again. I'm absolutely team. It's a child's game. You should be able to have some fun doing it. You can't pull out a fake gun and shoot the other guys. And the fact that a team doesn't know that and does it. And by the way, the kid who did it then went to the sideline and did it again. Can't have it. Can't have it. All right, when we come back, Lonzo and I predict our winners of the NFC and AFC East before we wrap up the show, the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, it is NFL week one, ladies and gentlemen. So just about that time to get the football season started. And that means, of course, that the great one and I need to go division by division over the next handful of days, today, tomorrow, and then Thursday, Friday, picking two divisions, an AFC and NFC division every day until we have our divisional winners. And then on Friday, we will give you our thoughts on who shall win the Super Bowl this year. I got a sneaky suspicion half of that equation's already filled out. We will find out when we get to Friday, but between here and there, let's take a look at the, let's start, what do you say, great one, in the NFC East for 2024, a very interesting division in this one. The Philadelphia Eagles are the Las Vegas odds-on favorites to win this. Philly sits at minus 125. They opened at plus 160 when they did. The Cowboys opened at even money, actually the odds-on favorite. But after all the distractions and everything that's been going down since then, they have now fallen to plus 170, leaving Philly alone at the top of the board. The Washington Commanders and New York Giants, both well below the Commanders, plus 900. So they are 9-1. The G-Men, plus 2,000, meaning they are 20-1 long shots to win this division. I am I'm very intrigued by this one. Great one. I'm intrigued because I don't trust Philadelphia after the meltdown that they went through last year. In fact, Nick Sirianni is on the short list of coaches you can bet on to be the next one to lose their job. I don't think anybody's going to pick the New York Giants. So you've got the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Commanders. The Commanders, obviously, a long shot upset bet at 9-1. The boys and the Eagles are your second and first most bet on. Do you have any thoughts on this division and who you like?
There's a reason why Jerry Jones ain't worried, because he's looked at the state of that division and knows that Dallas is going to win it and win it pretty easily. I've always thought Philadelphia was a little overrated and lucky. The year they went to the last time they went to Super Bowl, San Francisco lost every quarterback they had. I don't trust in Philly's quarterback. I think he's middle of the road. Washington, we don't know what we're getting. The Giants suck. So I think Dallas wins this division and wins it fairly easily.
Dallas is, again, plus 170 to win this division. The Eagles, minus 125. I actually agree with you a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles are the pick a lot on reputation. Now, that's not to say there aren't some upgrades. Saquon Barkley gets added to the mix, a divisional move. He comes over from the G-Men, and we know that Saquon Barkley is a dude that, if he stays healthy, Saquon can be an absolute dog. But then there's the question about, again, his ability to stay healthy. Can he do that, right? Like, we've been wanting to see a healthy Saquon Barkley for a hot minute. We just haven't really gotten that yet. I don't know if I can lean on that, right? Like, do you want to bet on whether or not this team can be carried on the enormous quads of Saquon Barkley? I don't, because I just don't trust the ankle is going to be good.
And the tush push is gone. It's not going to work without Jason Kelce. It doesn't seem to work without him. So if they get within close range, they're going to have to go to Saquon Barkley, and if he doesn't pick it up, I mean, that may cost them some games right there, because they depended on that so much.
They really did. I mean, at one point, it was almost comedy to watch how many other teams tried to copy, steal the tush push, and very few teams, if any, were able to pull it off like the Philadelphia Eagles were able to pull it off. And without Kelce there, who was kind of one of the heart and soul guys of this team, as he stepped away and into the broadcast booth, I think that's a good point. I'm going to regret it, because I know I'm going to have this one hit back on me, but I am going to go with a surprise pick, and I'm going to go with the Commanders. I'm going to go with Washington to win this division.
Pick Dallas, can you?
No, it's no, but I have a valid reason for it this time. It's not just because I dislike Dallas. They got Dak. They got CeeDee Lamb. Who's their other threat? What's the other threat here? You know who the Cowboys are? They're South Carolina's offense from last year. They got a good quarterback. They got a great wide receiver. And what the hell else are they working with? Nothing. There's nothing else there that scares me.
The return of Zeke.
Yes, we're going to go with Zeke Elliott, a guy who got kicked out of the Patriots. He's not 30 yet, but he's all up over it. And if we're being honest, there's a reason Zeke wasn't in Dallas already. And it's because even then they felt like the guy was washed. And I don't think Dallas was wrong for feeling that way. He went to New England. Quick, what did he accomplish in New England? Nothing.
I was being sarcastic, by the way.
No, I know.
Okay, all right.
But being sarcastic, that brought you in a part. Here's the second two wide receivers on this team. Great one. Brandon Cooks, who's been around the league so long that he was a weapon in the Drew Brees' offense in the New Orleans Saints. He's on the wrong side of 30. And by the way, we'll be 31 coming up here in less than a month. And Jalen Tolbert. I mean, again, like, if you want to lean on a 25-year-old out of Alabama who had, let's see here, 24 career catches, and that guy's starting for the Dallas Cowboys this year at 25. This isn't a kid that's like 21 with 21 career catches. No, he's been in the league a hot minute now. So who else, when Washington starts finding their way, because they have built an offense around Jaden Daniels, when they start to find their way, who else helps Dallas out? Jake Ferguson, the tight end, maybe. Like, maybe is the best I can come up with. Then I look at the Commanders. First off, I've already told you what I think Jaden Daniels is going to do. I think he's going to blow the world away this year. They got Brian Robinson, who is a decent running back, with Austin Ekeler as a speller there, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Scary Terry is back there. Olamide Zaccheaus, who is an all-name team candidate, if nothing else, out of UVA. I actually really like this kid a lot, along with Jaden Daniels. He's kind of got that make-it-up-as-you-go mentality. And they had Zach Ertz as a Hall of Famer at the tight end spot. Tell you right now, I like this team a lot, man. I like this team a lot. I think that I think this Washington Commanders team has everything built in that they need to be a ready-made contender now. And here's my favorite part. Dan Quinn's the head coach, but at OC, they got a guy that we have learned is not head coach material, can be coordinator material. And that's Cliff Kingsbury, working with Jaden Daniels, who is that classic pro quarterback, but he's going to play it like it's college quarterback situation. I love everything about Washington. One of my surprise division picks. Give me the Washington Commanders. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum. Very quickly before we move on to the water cooler cheat sheet, over on the other side, Lonzo, the AFC East. You got the Jets, the Dolphins, the Pats, and the Bills. Who's your pick?
All right, it's not 7 a.m. I'm going to go with the New York Jets. The Bills have dropped off. They're going to drop off. New England is horrible. Miami has been good, but I think a healthy Aaron Rodgers with all the weapons that the Jets have, they're going to win that division.
I'm not mad at that pick. Not in the least am I mad about that pick. They've got the weaponry around Aaron Rodgers to give Aaron Rodgers some time to find his form again. Guys like Brees, I think they're going to be very good on the offensive side of the ball. Again, you're banking on the Achilles of a 40-year-old man not falling apart, but hey, welcome to preseason prognostication. That's just how it goes. And defensively, I think the Jets are going to be very good. I actually like the pick. I'm going with the Dolphins. Tyreek yesterday said, this is the best Dolphins team since I got here. And for some weird reason, because I don't really have a reason to, for some real weird reason, Lonzo, I believe Tyreek. Granted, same guy that said Tua Tagovailoa is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. So, like, maybe I should take it with a whole ass cavern of salt, like the whole salt mine. But in a weird way, I believe him. And now Tua's paid. Reek's out there. Mike McDaniels has had a year to kind of figure out what went right and wrong. I like the Jets pick. I'm winging it with the Dolphins.
All right, time to ask Rob, what is Xing? The first thing that's Xing is DirecTV.
So what an interesting weekend. And those of you with DirecTV may have seen this, and I'm sure frankly did. DirecTV and ESPN are having a wage fight right now, a bid fight over media rights cost. That caused DirecTV to take ESPN and ABC off the air minutes before college football week one kicked off on Saturday. They still have not resolved that dispute. So if you are a DirecTV guy, you had to find an alternative means of watching this week. Twitter got very dicey there for a little while for DirecTV and ESPN.
Well, it's not the first time that there's been a problem with you. Had this happen last year with Dish Network. But luckily, I don't have DirecTV, so it stinks. For it's all about the money. But what a bold move by them. Do it right then. I mean, we'll show you. We'll show you how much.
Oh, that was 1,000% intentional.
Of course it was. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Joe Tessitore.
Joe Tessitore made his debut on Monday Night Raw last night. I did not get a chance to watch it yet because I was watching collegiate football. Here's what the reviews I've gotten so far were that Tessitore is knowledgeable, professional, knows the product, but his timing and his energy aren't quite there. And my question is, are his timing and his energy not there? Or not there because we've been listening to Michael Cole and Pat McAfee for the past couple of months. How do you feel Tessitore did?
All right. I haven't watched it yet either. I'm just going to watch it when I go home today because I was watching football. But everything – I've only seen positive things. So I know it's a trend in today's show. But I haven't seen any negativity. But maybe my algorithm trends towards the positive. The next thing that's excellent is Odyssey Jones.
Yeah, I saw this morning that Odyssey Jones apparently randomly and out of the blue not on the WWE roster anymore. Like, he's been wiped from the website. I haven't gotten to watch Bash in Berlin yet either. Have I missed something?
Yeah, it's been a couple days since this happened. So I was thinking maybe they just did it on purpose and he's going to show back up on Monday Night Raw. My understanding is he did not. So that whole angle may be scrapped, and they're not saying why. So I guess we'll find out eventually. I'm surprised if it was something like he got arrested or something, we'd already know that. But
I was going to say that comes across as old Odyssey did something real bad behind, not a suspension, but a straight up removal. That sounds like something real bad.
Unless it's an angle. And he's been taken off by, I guess Xavier Woods has already said he had nothing to do with it.
Interesting.
I hope it's an angle. All right, the next thing is Xing is Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut Xing because yesterday Joey and his arch nemesis Kobayashi got together and had them a hot dog eating contest. Honestly, the only hot dog eating contest of this year that mattered. Chestnut put down a world record 84 hot dogs to knock off Kobayashi in their reunion competition. And that's too many glizzies. Even for a glizzy guy, too many glizzies.
And finally, Josh Brolin is Xing.
Josh Brolin. I have no idea why Josh Brolin is trending.
All right. The rumor is he's been asked to play Hal Jordan in the Lantern series, Green Lanterns.
Josh Brolin?
Yeah, that's the reaction a lot of people are having.
Josh Brolin. I mean, I like Josh Brolin a lot, but they want him to... What? Is it set in the future? What are we doing here?
Well, it would have to be because he's pretty old. So it's about the Lantern Corps, not just one Lantern. So I don't know. It's a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out. We will find out. Also, No Country for Old Men is an overrated movie. And if you pretend that you like it, it's only because you're afraid of looking dumb in public. You're not going to look dumb in public. No Country for Old Men, as great as Josh Brolin is an overrated artsy fartsy movie. I don't want to have to think about my own ending. All right. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do the NFC West and AFC West on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.